Hi, this is Paul Jones, pastor of Victory World Outreach. Thank you for visiting our podcast. I hope this ministry from our preaching team brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Chapter 15, and I want to just talk to you for a minute on faith and hopefully stir your faith, because you're not going to get very far without being able to operate in the realm of the supernatural, in that realm of faith. And this scripture right here in Romans chapter 1, he talks about a way of faith that leads to greater faith. Let me just put it like this. So we're Romans 1 and 17, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in case you missed it the first time. Faith connects us to the life of God. It's what connects us to the power of God. There are those that believe and they have they've got the mental understanding, but then there is a dimension of faith that connects us to the power, where the real power source is. It's what taps into and touches heaven. It's the kind of thing that pulls heaven into your circle, into your situation, your problem. It has the ability to move us out of the natural into the supernatural. It's something that by our own decision we have to reject some things in order to obtain other things. You have to be able to reject something. When Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk towards Jesus, he had to reject those thoughts that say you cannot walk on water. Those thoughts that practical skeptical side had to be pushed aside, because Jesus had already given him a word, and so he began to walk on water. You look at every miracle that is in the New Testament, and anytime, and even in the Old Testament, every miracle had to be a situation where they stepped out of their own natural reasoning and they moved into a supernatural dimension. It connects us to the life and the power of God. Can you imagine that if somebody needed electricity and they ran electricity for 20 miles and they came from the source, all right, and they ran it all the way up until it was almost there, but it was just a foot short. I mean, no, it doesn't matter if you're a foot short or if you're 10 miles short. You're still short. Right? And you could be almost there. You can be committed in so many areas, but unless you reject certain things, you will never step into that supernatural dimension where miracles happen and God operates, because there's too many things that are competing with our thoughts. There's too many things competing that will want to divert us and keep us from seeing the best that God has for our lives. If we allow reason into our thoughts, when it comes to miracles, reason and faith and reason, as Pastor has said on many occasions, they do not cooperate with each other. Reason looks at the facts and only the facts. It looks at the statistics. It looks at all the ones that haven't made it, the ones that haven't accomplished something, and instead of defying the odds and defying what men say, they begin to believe those things. And so your life follows that pattern. It's why some people never see a miracle, because they never move beyond their own thoughts and their own mind into that dimension of obeying God. Imagine the Lord said, Lord Jesus, he says to Peter, he says, go out and catch a fish, and when you catch that fish, reach into his mouth and pull out a coin, and that's the coin you're going to use to pay our taxes. Well, what kind of sense does that make? That doesn't make any kind of logical sense. Who ever heard of something like that? But that's where faith moves out of the natural and into the supernatural. And this is what it says in Romans 1 and 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So there's a way of faith that leads to a greater measure of faith. You say, well, I don't really have much faith. As we begin to obey the simple things and the smaller things, it opens doors to even bigger things for our lives. But we'll never have the kind of faith that sees the big things if we're not even faithful to obey Him even in the small things, the little things, right? Starting where we're at. And so the starting point for us is not a place of defeat. Our starting point is what we saw this last week on Resurrection Sunday. What Jesus did at the cross, that's the starting point. We're starting from a place of victory in our lives. We have that privilege. He accomplished everything that we need at the cross. You can't add anything to it. You can't do more. You can't. We're not going to crucify Jesus again because we need another miracle. He's already paid the price for any situation, everything that we can possibly face. He's already paid the price for it. And it's done once and for all. And so listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Where does our victory come from? It comes from Him. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give thanks for that. And there's tremendous power in our faith. There's tremendous power in shutting out all of the skeptics and trusting in God and taking this book for what it's worth and saying, "Lord, you said, it's not just what we think. It's not because pastor said, or that's what we believe, or that's what the church believes. This is what the Word of God says." And even though there's tremendous power in faith, there is also tremendous power in unbelief. All you have to do is get around some people that are full of unbelief and they're negative, and they don't have an ounce of optimism. They don't have an encouraging thing to say. And you begin to pick up on those attitudes and those thoughts, and you begin to share those same sentiments. We were talking before the service. We were meeting about small groups, and I was talking. We were talking with Brian and Laura about the upcoming small group session. And one of the things that we were talking about was every time I get together with our leaders and I begin to hear the testimonies of this one's life was changed and this miracle happened and this good thing happened, it stirs me up. I get excited. I get a renewed enthusiasm for small groups because I'm hearing testimony, testimony, testimony. I'm hearing about what God has done, and I'm encouraged by that. But if I get around people that are discouraged and they're disappointed, and instead of influencing them, they influence me, then I begin to pick up on that attitude. And it works like that in marriages. It works like that with miracles and healing and any kind of situation you might be facing. If you get around people and you begin to adopt those same thoughts, you'll find yourself in a place of discouragement. And you'll be full of doubt, and you'll be full of unbelief, because that is the prevailing thought and attitude is an attitude of unbelief, not faith. Faith is a rarity. Faith is something that is a unique type of thing. You look throughout the Old Testament, Moses and the children of Israel, and even in the New Testament, Judas, his unbelief, and there's so many stories of doubt and unbelief. But listen, we are not hopeless. We are not helpless. We are not without an advocate. That is Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ because of what He did. Not because of what we can do. What are we able to do? What are you able to do? I mean, you can only call so many people for help. You can only go so far until you run out of people to call and you run out of money and people that can offer you a solution. At some place and some point, you will need to cry out to God. You're going to need some faith for a situation. You're going to be up against the wall. You're going to have a situation that nobody else has an answer for. And there will be plenty of people who will talk you out, or they will want to talk you out of that good thing that God has for your life. And if you listen to the wrong people, you'll be so disappointed and so discouraged, and it's quite likely you'll miss out on something that God has for your life. Look at Naaman, who thought he was in the Old Testament, who was going to go to talk to the prophet, because the prophet was healing people, and he heard about this, and he says, well, he gets there, and he says, I'd like to see the prophet. I want to see what he can do. He had leprosy. This man, Naaman, had leprosy. And he goes to the prophet, and the prophet doesn't even come down to shake his hand, to lay hands on him, anything like that. Just sends somebody down to give him a message and tells him, go and dip 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be made whole. And he says, hold on a minute, I don't want to do that. He almost missed his opportunity. If it wasn't for a little girl, a young lady who was a servant in his house, who had the courage to say to him, you know, he could have asked you to do something that was difficult, but he didn't ask you to do that. And if we're not careful, we will miss what God wants to do, because the devil is a deceiver. And you and I are going to have to battle unbelief every single day of our life. You're going to have to battle it. So you might as well make up your mind that when the devil comes and he begins to work on your thoughts and he begins to try and overcome you in your mind and tell you, you know, you're never going to make it. You're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to be able to do that. You're never going to get a house. You're never going to be healed. And he says it again and again and again. Unless you can wrestle with those thoughts and put them in their place and replace them and say, God, I already know what you said. This is what your word says. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. It's all through what Jesus did at the cross. And there are plenty of skeptics. There are plenty of those that will try and reason it out and try and talk you out of it. But listen, get that thought and say, you know what? I'm going to stand on what the Word of God says. I'm going to let my faith be quickened. I'm going to let my faith be stirred. I'm going to touch it. I'm going to tap heaven. I'm not going to get so far and let my Christianity, my walk with God, get me so far like that power cord that makes it 19.9 miles and doesn't actually connect to the source. Whether you're a foot short or you're 10 miles short, you're still short. Faith has to tap in. Faith has to say, you know what, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. I choose to believe you. And this is the thing that's so powerful. I have not fully seen the testimony that we're about to see, but I did have a chance to sit down with Riley and Anna this week and talk with them, and we were able to be with them and hold that baby, and I saw a miracle in that baby. And I've heard them say, I'm looking forward to hearing this, because I've heard them say all of the negatives, even from the very beginning when we began to pray. But in my heart, I say, God, you're real, and I know you are able to do a miracle. And I choose to believe that you're going to touch this baby. And I know many of you did the very same thing. People all over the world have been praying for this little baby. So we're going to watch this testimony. I pray that it stirs your faith and encourages you. And I'll share some things with you that are not on the video here in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and play that. They recorded this the other day on their phones, and so we tried to put it together the best we could.
Hi, I'm Riley, and this is Anna, and this is our miracle baby, Peyton. And I would like to thank you all for believing with us and praying for us for a miracle for her. We have a testimony to share with you.
At our 5-month ultrasound, we went in to see if we were having a boy or a girl, and they told us there was something wrong with the baby. Her bones were bowed and bent, and that we needed to see a specialist. The following Monday, there was a specialist that came in from Denver, and we took another ultrasound, and she told us that all of the long bones in her arms and legs were either fractured or broken, and gave us a possible diagnosis of our baby having osteogenesis imperfecta, which is a soft bone disease where the baby's bones are very fragile and they just break. But not only that, do they not live because their chests aren't big enough and they usually die within hours of after being born. And they offered to terminate the baby. They said most people would not continue the pregnancy. We told them that wasn't an option for us. And they took a amniocentesis test at that time to try and determine what she had. That was in December. It was going to take a month before we had any results and knew exactly what we were looking at. So by January, they came back with results that it was not OI, but it was another diagnosis called hypophosphatasia, which had a very similar outcome to the OI, the bones being fragile, but they called it a perinatal hypophosphatasia, which meant it was very lethal. She could possibly be born, stillborn, and she wouldn't live. We just kept praying. We wanted this baby for a long time, and we knew God wanted us to have her. And we didn't give up. And you guys, everybody prayed right along with us. All of our VWO church families all across the world didn't give up. And by faith, we prayed for a miracle and a complete healing in this baby. They did some more different testing and things trying to... They weren't completely solid in their diagnosis of the hypophosphatasia, so they kept trying to find a diagnosis for her. I had monthly ultrasounds. From the beginning, they told us that it was possible she could have more broken bones as she got bigger inside of me. But every ultrasound, she didn't have anything new broken, and I believe that was because God had his hand on her. By our last ultrasound in March, one thing that they were really watching was her chest size. In the beginning, her chest was small, but it was still in the 10th percentile, which meant she had better odds of living because 5% is lethal. But by that last ultrasound in March, her chest was down to the 6th percentile. And, not expected to make it. We were told we weren't going to be able, you know, to hold her, to anything. And then they scheduled a C-section for April because they really expected her to break more as she came out. They said even with the most gentlest C-section, she could have further broken bones when she was born. And then my mom and I and my boys, we came to stay up here in Denver waiting for her due date. And the week before she was supposed to be born, my doctor called me and said they had a new diagnosis for her. that they had sent all of her records to the top specialists in the state of skeletal dysplasia, and they diagnosed her with Kempa-Mielec dysplasia. Three quarters of all diagnosis of Kempa-Mielec dysplasia, they die. They don't live. And I just told her, well, we're just still going to believe for a miracle that she's going to be okay. And the 16th finally came. That was the day she was scheduled to be born. And we went in, and one of the doctors came in to talk to us so that he would understand what we wanted to do as far as life support went. If we were, how far we wanted to take trying to keep her alive. And we had to make some decisions. They were very worried about her with the Kempa-Mielec dysplasia diagnosis, that her jaw and stuff were, might could have been deformed and caused difficulty breathing. And so they wanted to bring in a specialist, near nose and throat specialist. So they delayed the C-section by an hour so that they could bring in another specialist to try and keep this baby alive. So we delayed it an hour. By the time we got in there with all the specialists and everybody, there was 19 different doctors and people in there that were here to bring this baby into the world, and she was not expected to live. But as soon as she came out, she was screaming and crying, which meant she could breathe on her own, and she didn't stop. And they put oxygen on her for a short time. They never used any of the specialists that they brought in. She was taken back to the NICU and assessed. Her chest was big enough. Her lungs were fine. She only was on oxygen for a few hours, and then she was breathing out room air on her own. They took x-rays of her pretty quickly, and the doctor assessed those. She came out of the womb with no fractures, no broken bones. They took her x-rays right after she was born, and then the orthopedic doctor assessed them and looked at them. Come to find out, her bones that we had thought were broken or fractured were really only just more bent or bowed, due to them being soft and due to her being in the womb. She had a couple fractures on her ribs that were healing, but she came out of the C-section with no broken bones whatsoever, which was not expected. There were three main things that the orthopedic doctor was looking at for her diagnosis. It was her spine, her hips, and her feet, all of which are perfect. They have diagnosed her with hypophosphatasia, but she does not fit herself. She does not fit into statistically what that should look like. I mean, you can see she looks perfectly normal. She's strong. She's a very strong little girl. I mean, they told us we wouldn't be able to hold her. We can hold her. They're amazed by how well she's doing. The good news, though, is with this diagnosis, they have, in the last 3 years, came out with a medicine to treat babies and people with this diagnosis. Before the medicine, 75% of all cases died by the age of 5. And now, with the medicine, 97% rate of living and living a normal life. She will be able to crawl and to walk just like any baby would. This was the hardest 4 months of our life. And we couldn't have done it without the support and the faith of our home church in Cortez and this Colorado Springs Church, all of our churches all across the United States. I know every single one of you were praying. I know many of you fasted and you took it to heart and you bared this burden with us. And I know that that's what moved the hand of God. It was your faith and our faith, and that's what moved God. And she's a miracle. We're going to get to take her home. And it's because we didn't have to go through it alone. And God did a miracle. And we just are so incredibly thankful. And we give Him all the praise and all the glory. And I know He has big plans for this baby girl. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for many of people gave us a lot of financial support and their prayers and their love. And we're just so, so thankful. We're so thankful to Pastor Jones and his sister for giving us a place to stay here in Denver for the whole duration of this process. And it's been a tremendous blessing. And we love you guys. And we couldn't have done this without you. And we just wanted to share.
We thank you so much. And we love you.
Amen. What a wonderful story. Tremendous testimony. There's no faith like a mother's faith. She decorated this baby's bedroom. When they came to Denver, she brought the car seat with her because they were planning on taking that baby home. Doctors did not expect this. With 19 people standing in there, intrigued, curious, because this is a very rare case. But it's a miracle. The medicine, the doctor said just yesterday that they were first saying she'll have to have this until she's an adult. Now the doctor says that she'll only need this medicine until she's 3 years old. It's an enzyme that has the ability to make any bone that could be slightly bowed or crooked, it has the ability to make it straight. It's amazing. And you know, God has a lot of ways to help us. He has 1,000 ways, more than that, to help us. People prayed. People contended. The Cortez Church stood their ground. And it's an amazing thing to see what God has done with this testimony. It's all over Cortez. People are talking about it. They've had over 5,000 people hit the video, and or 7,000. It's just, I wish it'd go viral. And that everywhere people would hear that God still keeps His promises to His people. And we don't understand it all, but we thank God for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. To decorate that baby's room took faith. To say, no, we're not going to get an abortion. We're going to stand. We're going to believe. To carry it on through. You know something? Faith is a powerful weapon. We just heard Pastor Paul say. It's a powerful weapon. It's a wonderful thing. But faith is also a surrender that says, God, we'll serve you regardless. We're going to live for you. We're going to believe you. And that's how wars are won. That's how fights are won. You go into that thing saying, I'm willing to die, than to give ground to the devil and the and the wicked and evil people of the world. Amen? That's how faith works. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "You with faith, you can charge the gates of hell with a water gun." You know something? Faith is a powerful thing that God has given us tonight. And occasionally, we don't have all the answers. I've had a lot of people, they know all the answers to healing. But I do know this, that God does heal. And God does work miracles, and they still happen. And the greatest miracle of all is when a child of the devil is changed into a child of God. And their life is so turned around. And they're no longer a slave to sin. They're no longer a slave to the devil. And all that he puts in their life, all the curses, DNA and spiritual, are broken because of the power of Jesus' blood and the power of the cross that's at work in their life. My folks got saved back in 1947. My wife and I got saved. We're no longer the same. Thank God. When I got saved, I'm telling you, the crime rate went down. When you got saved, there's no doubt that the crime rate went down, especially these people sitting right down here. I can tell. He changes our life. It's not a reformation of our old nature. It is a creative miracle of God when a person is born of God and born again and changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. And so they're taking baby Peyton home on Monday. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing. And when Marie and I got to go up yesterday, like some of the others got to see, and she held that baby, I held that baby, and she said, joy bubbling over in her heart. And I think that's a wonderful thing to see that and be so filled with faith and with joy. First thing, you know, when those babies are born, we look at them, and we can all of us that have had children. Amen. Not everybody's like me. I count their toes. But look at them. But they said her eyes were all over the place. She screamed and cried all the way down to the nursery. That's a good cry. And they said the doctor said she's more alert than the other babies in there. So you know something? He that has begun a good work will complete the good work, and it'll be a testimony for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for just a moment before we go. And you know, tonight, I don't have a doubt that the Lord brought us together, and we are in this house because of God. Isn't that right, hon? It's because of God. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what we would need, and he's on the giving hand here right now. It's available. All we have to do is say yes to him. Lord, I know I need you. I can't do this alone. I'm tired of the way I've been living. I need a miracle. Please forgive me. And the miracle of God is he does a creative miracle on my heart. A creative miracle on my heart. That's the history of this church. That's the heritage of this church. Is that people can get saved and their life completely transformed. Some folks lose faith along the way, throw in the towel. But whether it's that's the case, you've had more than you can bear, or you just don't know what it is to be saved, we want to pray for you tonight. How many all over this assembly would just raise your hands up and put them up and down and say, remember me in prayer, please. I see your hands. Yes, all over hands. God bless you, many hands. Let's stand, shall we, together. And I want these that raise your hands, please make it to the aisle. Please, over here, go to the nearest aisle. Just come. No one's going to try to rope you into a dead religion. All we're going to do is make a place where you can come and pray. You can come before the Lord just like you are. He hears your voice. Not just mine, but he hears your voice. Would you come? Maybe you're here tonight and you've just lost your way. You've lost heart. You've gotten so down and beat up by the world and the devil that you just need a touch and an encouraging word from God. Why don't you just come, would you? All over this house, there are many people. This is an altar for all of us tonight. Would you come as we sing?
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages, subscribe and go to our podcast channel for more episodes. If you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.